Welcome to the Harvest Time Podcast, where our mission is the commission to make disciples. Join us as we delve into candid discussions, share inspiring stories, and take practical steps in growing together as dynamic ambassadors for the gospel. Get ready to embrace your purpose as a laborer in God's harvest field. I'm your producer, David, and here are your hosts, Katie and Caitlin.
Welcome back to episode 9 of the Harvest Time Podcast. The title of this episode is We Love Gen Z. So we're just excited to champion you guys and discuss some of your strengths, some of the challenges that you're going to face, and just the opportunities that are there within your generation and the way that God has equipped you uniquely for such a time as this. I will preface the episode by saying that according to every graph or chart that I've seen that's broken down the generations, I do fall in the Gen Z category as like a kind of the top end of that generation. But as an oldest child whose friends were all mostly older than me, I definitely identify more with a younger millennial worldview and ideology. But it has also been a huge asset, I think, in just how I mobilize college students and have been able to just do life with some of you really closely. It's been a really huge blessing to just be able to empathize and relate to some of what you guys go through. And so we're excited to talk through this conversation as peers, older sisters, if you will, and just champion you as image bearers of Jesus.
Yeah, that's really what our heart is for this episode. Similarly to Katie, I fall like right in the middle. Hypothetically, I could be either Gen Z or millennial, but I also grew up around a lot of like older people. And so I feel like my worldview and just the way that I think and the way that I talk is a little bit more millennial than Gen Z. So yeah, I'm going to identify as a millennial in this, but I love Gen Z too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really fun. A lot of you that listen to the podcast fall into that category. I believe it's marked by folks that were born between, was it 1996 and 2012, maybe? Maybe a little bit later than that. And so basically, we're looking at today's college students and young career people. And so feel like I think we're just going to kind of chat through like some of what we've observed as mobilizers and disciplers of college students primarily. And so one of the things that I've noticed and have just loved about you guys is your pursuit of authentic relationship. You guys don't want anything fake or plastic. You see right through performance and perfection, and you're not even striving for that, which is so refreshing to me as a recovering perfectionist, to just see you guys as people that just want friends to hang out with, and you're not afraid to just be your true selves and pursue those kinds of things. What do you think, Caitlin?
Yeah, I think something that I've been observing across the board, and it's really fun because this year, I've literally been from west to east to north to south to mobilize. And so I've seen all these different groups of college students and young adults. And I would say the singular theme that has really just blown me away is that you guys are so passionate about anything that you're passionate about.
Yeah.
It could be like blue fuzz, or it could be like a social justice issue, or it could be Jesus, or maybe multiple things, right? Like Jesus and then a specific justice issue. And I think there's a real beauty because the gospel message without passion and justice is not the gospel message. And so I think you guys have done a really amazing job of just taking ownership for those two facets of God's heart and just like running with it. And so I'm loving just meeting all these passionate college students and helping them find a place to practice what they're passionate about. So I just really respect your guys' drive and determination despite different obstacles that you face to just do your passion.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think another thing that I've noticed, if you ask any millennial, really, we were part of, I think, what you would call the Chase Your Dreams generation. But we watched I think our generation really has experienced where dreams have crumbled in a lot of ways, you know, the housing market and the economy and our plans and post-grad education and family. You know, I think a lot of millennials have those struggles. But Gen Z, I think you guys are super pragmatic. Like, you're dreamers and you're idealistic, but you're really practical. Not only do you want to pursue your passions, but you overall are really practical in how you're going to accomplish that. And so you're making plans of where do you need to go to school and what degree do you need to get and how much money do you need to make? And there's all these types of things where you're not just chasing dreams blindly into the void. You're preparing yourselves and you're setting yourselves up to pursue things that enliven your heart. And I think that's a really beautiful thing, especially when we're talking in terms of ministry and missions. I talk to so many students that are totally fine extending the length of their training time in order to get more education on God's word, more education in biblical languages, more practical experience in ministry, because you guys want to be fully equipped for the work that God's called you to in a way that I know Caitlin and I don't necessarily fully relate to, where we just wanted to get there faster and we wanted to take whatever shortcut was necessary to make sure that we could be doing what we're doing as soon as possible. And both of our stories are marked by these significant conversations with the Lord where he's telling us to slow down and go at the pace of Jesus, not at the pace of our culture and our generation.
Yeah, that's so true. And just to give you guys some biblical basis for that, one thing I've always been struck by is in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and 2, like God gives this mandate, right, for Adam to reign and rule and subdue the earth. And this happens, I misspoke, it's in Genesis 1:26-28. And this happens before sin enters the world. And so I'm thinking about this, I'm like, okay, Adam's mandate is to work before sin enters the world. And so naturally, if it's a perfect world, I'm like, the work would have to be somewhat enjoyable, right? Mm-hmm. And so of course, you know, we're living in a like fallen world, but that doesn't mean that we should find no joy in what we're doing. And so I think once again, you guys have just really captured that super well. And like Katie said, you have actual strategy. Like, how could we have a movement that actually makes a difference and doesn't just say like, oh, we're going to fight for this, but like, let's actually like do it together and see these big changes happen in the world, not only to make the world a better place, but to just steward it back to what it was pre-sin.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I just really love talking to college students and getting to know you guys. I think what's really cool is that you are, you're so eager to use what God has given you as a unique individual as part of a larger mission. And so you're all about finding ways to plug and play with what God's already given you. And I think that's just so beautiful. I don't know, Caitlin, if you have thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think that's really true. But I think that sometimes it can like stumble into a problem, right? Mm-hmm. So there's like, there's these beautiful things about you guys, but then because of all these beautiful things, of course, the enemy is going to be like, I'm going to cause problems.
Right, right.
So I think with that, sometimes you guys can fall into analysis paralysis where, you know, Katie and I are, she said like, we're just ready to get the thing done. Like whatever the first option is, we're going to go with it because we see that's going to get us to the end goal. But you guys like tread carefully and make like more rational decisions than I've made before, for sure. Let me just be the first to admit that. But I think that it can trap you in analysis paralysis. And so sometimes it can be difficult for you guys to like make decisions, and that's not a judgment. That's just like, we understand like why sometimes it longer, but even with it taking longer, like you're super sold on what you're doing and you're like 100% committed. And so I think it's cool like how you guys are still redeeming what the enemy wants to trip you up with.
Yeah. Caitlin and I were just talking before we hit record that Gen Z is hot or cold. You know, you're either bought into the mission or the cause, or you're not. Like she said, the enemy can use any of these things, but I think there's no half-heartedness in Gen Z. whatever you do, if you're passionate about it and you really believe God's in it, you're doing it with 110%. But to Caitlin's point, one of the things that one of our roles as mobilizers is to help walk you through this analysis paralysis, help you discern this idea of what God's calling you to and how to kind of make that movement from discernment to decision. That's a really tricky thing, especially when, you know, our society is asking 18 to 22 year olds to make these major life decisions. But we just have loved the sheer amount of commitment that we have seen in you guys. And it makes our jobs really easy as we can champion passion and commitment really well. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's beautiful. Like the open hearts that you guys have, and you guys are hungry for guidance and wisdom. And I know that's due to a lot of different factors. I've seen several statistics about like Gen Z being the most motherless and fatherless generation that exists. And that's due to a variety of reasons, mostly family relationships being broken, of course. The enemy has been busy with that, I just feel like, in several different parts of Gen Z. And so thankful for all of the parents that have stuck it out and nurtured their kids and just really believing for restoration and healing for everybody else. But that being said, you guys are hungry for kind of the older and wiser, right? And so I think it's really beautiful because you guys have a need that the older generation can meet. And so it creates this beautiful interaction, or at least potential for interaction, between the older wisdom and the younger passion and zeal working together to advance God's kingdom.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to read, before I started my work in missions, I read a book called Mobilizing Gen Z. And there's an appendix in the back that kind of gives a snapshot of Gen Z. And I thought I might read through it. It's a list that summarizes some of the most pertinent qualities of Gen Z. So if you fall into this generation, listen, see what maybe you relate to. And if you don't fall into this, I really want you to just listen and think about how can you come alongside the college students in your life and disciple them and walk alongside them in intimate relationship to both champion the strengths that they already have, but also champion them through the weaknesses and the challenges that they have to overcome in order to thrive in this world. So here's a brief snapshot. Gen Z is strikingly individualistic, curious, and well-informed, with unprecedented access to information. You're native to the digital world, adept at creating virtual relationships all over the world. That obviously has significant implications in global missions. You're searching for happiness. This is a major goal of your generation as a whole. Generally, you're risk averse and uncomfortable with ambiguity. I do relate to that portion for sure. You're focused on financial and emotional security, especially as a generation that has grown up in a post 9/11 culture on the heels of multiple economic recessions. You're pragmatic about your educational and career choices. You're diverse and tolerant of ideas and identities. And I would interpret this as open-minded. You're interested in conversations, not conflict. And I love that. That's really refreshing. Gen Z is questioning and skeptical of traditions and institutions. Now, like anything, this can have negative consequences as well. But when interpreted and applied through the positive, you're not willing to employ tradition and the same old just for the sake of it, especially if it's not working. You're interested in innovating and trying new ideas in order to promote the greater good of whatever cause or goal you have. Gen Z is facing great relational pressure due to social media. We could do a whole episode on those statistics and stories. Gen Z is experiencing greater levels of anxiety and depression. You're innovative, entrepreneurial, and creative. You're interested in making a unique contribution to the world around you. And you are a God-designed generation for a God-given task. What do you think, Caitlin? That's the first time you've heard of this.
Yeah, I think that's super good. You know, I think sometimes we can get into this swirl of like, I'm not good at anything, or I don't know what my strengths are, but like, there's an entire generation of people out there that carry what Katie just said. And of course, you know, there's two sides to every coin, but like, listen to what God has gifted you. This is beautiful. And I really love in the book of Acts where Luke is writing it, and he says that David accomplished the purpose in his generation and then he died. And so I just feel like this is kind of a commissioning to Gen Z, just to fulfill the purpose in your generation and then hear God say, well done. Mm-hmm. So I would kind of, Katie, if you have any other thoughts, go ahead and share them. But I'd love to land the plane and just pray for you guys, if that's okay.
Yeah, I'll read one more excerpt from this book. I'm telling you, this has been such a blessing to me as I stepped into, you know, more relationships with Gen Z. But this is a great excerpt from one of the authors of Mobilizing Gen Z. She wrote a different book, and so she shares a little bit from that. She says, I'm convinced that we live in a period of history like that of the prophet Daniel, which is actually super personal to me. That's a book of the Bible that through God's providence, I'm studying in two different Bible studies independent of each other. And so the Lord definitely has something for us in the book of Daniel right now. For many years, we were leaders in our own Judah, where our faith harmonized with the culture around us. Now, however, God is calling us to lead in a kind of Babylon, where our faith stands in stark contrast to the culture in which we live. The challenge of Daniel and his friends is one that reflects the challenge of godly leaders today. Just as the environment of Jerusalem differed from that of Nebuchadnezzar's palace, the context Christian leaders navigate today is much different than that experienced by their predecessors. We must wrestle with tough questions about what that change means for us, for our faith in leadership, and for the churches and organizations we serve. I really believe, like, you guys that fall into Gen Z, you are Daniels in Babylon. We live in a post-Christian culture, and you are facing questions and challenges that are unprecedented in every other generation. And every generation has their strengths and their weaknesses, their opportunities and their threats. But speaking to you, you're the first digital generation, the first global generation. And while those have had devastating effects in other ways, that is a gift. Your ability to navigate the world with the information and the skills and the opportunities at your fingertips will revolutionize global missions if used with care, intended with love and boundaries, and put in the hands of the Lord.
Whoo! The first global generation. Like, we could just sit on that, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
The first global generation. Gen Z, you're the first global generation.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you're the first global generation that will get to see the beginnings of the completion of the Great Commission, which is a global mission.
Yeah.
Boy, what a gift. Like, so despite all the challenges, like, that's what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Man, we hope you feel encouraged today. But yeah, let me just pray for you real quick. I'm really passionate about just breaking off word curses from generations. Because I believe that a lot of people have spoken negatively about you. And I just want to speak life over you, just like Katie and I have been doing today. So let's pray real quick. Jesus, I thank you so much for Gen Z, this first global generation, where all of them can be globally connected if they want to be. I thank you, Lord, for the commission that you've given every person since Jesus's day to make disciples of all nations. And so I thank you that Gen Z has an integral part in this. And so I pray, first of all, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that they would know you better. But in Jesus' name, I break agreement with every word curse and death and just everything that has been spoken negatively over Gen Z. And I declare that they will walk in freedom and healing and hope and peace and life abundantly. And so, Lord, thank you for these beautiful brothers and sisters and disciples in the faith. And I just pray that you would continue to take them deeper in intimacy with you, that they would find true life, that they would find the passions of your heart, and that they would walk them out with you in compassion. Jesus, we love Gen Z. We're thankful for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for listening. We hope you are blessed. And whether you are a member of Gen Z, or you work with them, or have children that are in that age group, or whatever the case may be, we encourage you to just champion one another, to speak life and liberty over one another. That's what Jesus commands, right? He commands us to love one another and to bless and uplift and to walk alongside. And so don't be discouraged. Take heart. He has overcome.